If you had the opportunity to listen to somebody who had been successfully building automobiles for 55 years, I think you'd give your attention. If you had the opportunity to listen to somebody who'd been successfully doing anything, any kind of work or vocation for 55 years, that would grab your attention. Our preacher this morning has been preaching the Bible this August, 55 years. Still doing it, the same book, the same message, not the same exact sermon over and over again for 55 years. Preaching from the same Bible for 55 years. I love Brother Smith. He has been a personal encouragement to me and my family. Just a personal encouragement. And he's been a personal encouragement to many, many pastors. And I'm not old, but I'm not young. And I am thankful at my age in life there is someone that I can look to for help and just to watch. And I'm so thankful he's here with us today to preach. Now, let me ask you to do this, okay? People go to a ball game somewhere else and just sit for a while without moving. And he told me, he said his messages on Sunday morning usually last about 30 minutes. So let me just ask you this morning. Let's just sit tight, sit quiet. We got a lot of things planned, a lot of moving parts. But I don't want to interrupt or distract the preacher this morning. I really don't want us to, okay? So sit tight, and let's just hear the message from God's Word. Amen? And you give Brother Smith your undivided attention after our song this morning.
If I only had one song that I could sing you, or story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough.
I could talk of all the blessings I've been given,
but in the end, my life is just
about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanding to know why.
But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to see. About the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. Something beautiful.
Well, amen. That was a blessing. If I may, I'm going to move that over a little bit. I remember it. It's got a rebellious spirit. It pops right back up. But it is a joy to be here. Thank you for that beautiful song, Brother and Sister. I love it. Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Preacher, thank you for the invitation. We're honored to be here. We always love to come to Faith Baptist Church and love to be around your preacher. Your preacher is one of our favorite preachers. We used to have him frequently when I pastored, and he was always such a blessing. And thank you for what you said about getting up and going out. See, I know where you're going. And at this stage in my life, the power of suggestion is more than I can handle. Oh. It's either there or you're going outside to smoke a cigarette, so. Just thought I'd encourage you along. But we do count it an honor to be here, and thank you for being in your place. Every honest Christian ought to be in God's house on the Lord's Day. Have you ever just laid out on purpose? I haven't. Since I got saved and right with God, I haven't laid out on purpose. Now, I've been sick a few times and miserable. Feel backslidden because not in the house of God. God's people just need to be in God's house. They need to come with a smile, need to come with their tithe offering envelope filled out, and need to come prayed up and ready for the preacher to preach, need to participate in the song service. Amen. You found your place? Mark chapter 10. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me and follow me as I begin to read in verse number 46, Mark chapter 10. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho," that's Jesus and His disciples and those that were following Him, "and they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" And if you'll look in Luke chapter 18, verse 42, you'll find out Jesus not only healed his blindness, but he saved his soul. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want you to go back in verse number 49. And I want you to notice that statement. "And Jesus stood still." And Jesus stood still. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning for just a few minutes. Father, thank you for this wonderful story that teaches us that Jesus has time for anybody and everybody who will sincerely and honestly call out to Him for mercy. Thank you for the songs that we've heard, for the choir, for the supersized choir. Thank you for the special. Now, Father, would you bless the preaching of the Word of God? I know without you I can do nothing. So the best I know how, I'm asking you to take charge of my voice my mind, my words, and use me as your servant. Preach through me today the message you'd have for these people. Now, Lord, thank you for those that are here, for the faithful members of this church that are in their place Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, because they're faithful members. They love you, they love their church, and they want to serve you. And then, Father, we want to especially thank you for the guests that are here today. What a privilege to have guests attend our churches. Now, Lord, would you bless them especially? Father, I do not know everyone that's here, but there's not a stranger to you. You know more about us than we know about ourselves. You know those who are right with God. You know those who are not right with God. You know those who are saved. You know those who are not saved. And you know those who are struggling with this matter of salvation. I'm asking you to walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium and stop by every pew and speak to every person about your will for their life. And Father, I'm asking you this morning in the name of Jesus, would you save every unsaved person in this building? And we'll thank you in advance, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. And Jesus stood still. The Bible lets us know that Jesus is a man of action. All the days of his earthly ministry, he was active. He was not a lazy man. There was not a lazy bone in the body of Jesus Christ. Even as a child, when young people are generally kind of lazy when it comes to work, Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." Aren't you glad that we have the promise of God's Word that Jesus never changes? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever is recorded in Hebrews 13, verse 8. That means that those things that were close to the heart of Christ when He was on earth are still dear to His heart today. That means what He said then, He still means now. What touched him then still touches him today. Now, Jesus was not only a man of action. He was a man with a purpose, a man with a mission. He was born to die for our sins. Calvary was no mishap. It was not the result of a mob out of control. Calvary was planned and allowed by God. In fact, in verse 33 and 34, Jesus tells us that what's going to happen when He goes back to Jerusalem. He already knows. Listen in verse 33. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock Him, and shall scourge Him, and shall spit upon Him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Jesus tells his disciple what's going to happen as they return to Jerusalem in just a few days. Now, God's plan for the redemption of sinful man was heavy on his heart at this time. Jesus knew the reason for his incarnation. Jesus knew that this was His purpose and mission here on earth. Nothing would keep Him from His appointed date with destiny and Calvary. In fact, in Isaiah 50, verse 7, the Bible says in prophecy about Calvary and Christ's suffering, the Word of God says that He set His face like a flint. Nothing would deter Him from Calvary. Yet, here in this passage that we've chosen for our text, we're told that a cry from the crowd in Jericho as Jesus passed through caused him to stop and give attention to the one who cried out. Now, our text says, "And Jesus stood still." This man of action stood still at this cry. This man with a purpose stood still. This God-man on a mission from God stood still. This Holy One with His face like a flint toward Calvary stood still. This one, the Son of God, who wouldn't allow personal suffering and hurt to stop Him, stood still. The Son of God with the plan and purpose of God heavy upon His heart heard a feeble cry from the crowd. And the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. This morning, for our message, I want us to look at this story and consider the circumstances that caused God incarnate on the greatest and most important mission in human history to stop in His tracks. And Jesus stood still and healed and saved this desperate soul, blind Bartimaeus. Now, first of all, who was it that cried out and caused Jesus to stop and turn His attention to this man's need? Who was it? His name was Bartimaeus. He wasn't the mayor of Jericho. He was not a governor of the region. He wasn't a king or a man of great wealth or position. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar, sitting along the roadside begging. Now, the point I want to make is this. If Christ would stop to give attention to blind Bartimaeus at this time, with Calvary before Him and the sin of the world upon His shoulders, knowing that He's about to be crucified, He's about to be beaten, He's about to be mocked, He's about to be crowned with thorns, with this on His heart and mind, if He would stop and give attention to a blind beggar, how much more will He stop and give attention to your cry and my cry today? You see, my dear friend, the burden of sin has been lifted from His back. Redemption has been paid for. Calvary is past. Salvation is finished. Sin is paid for. God is ready to hear our cry. The most feeble cry. You say, but I don't feel worthy to call out to God. You don't have to feel worthy. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. All this same God in heaven has His ear tuned toward earth, waiting for the most feeble cry from the neediest soul. No matter what He's doing, He'll stop just for you. He'll give attention to your need, to your burden, to your heartache, to your sorrow. And Jesus stood still. I want you to know there's not one person here today worse off than blind, unsaved, unclean Bartimaeus. Jesus stopped for him. And I'm glad to tell you He'll stop for you if you'll cry out to Him this morning. Whatever else our Lord is doing, He's never so busy with more important things to stop for you when you cry out to Him. The salvation of sinners is more important to God than the rescue of hurricane victims or tornado victims or wildfire victims. Oh, without salvation, a fate worse than anything that has transpired in Hurricane Katrina or 9-1-1 is waiting for you without Jesus Christ. An eternity in that place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. And yet Jesus came to this earth and suffered and bled and died with you in mind. He didn't create you for hell. He didn't create you to suffer forever in separation from God in that place of torment. He created you for Him, for Himself. And yet sin has separated you from God. Sin has caused that barrier between you and God. And yet Jesus came to make it possible that I might be reconciled and you might be reconciled to God. Amen. And He did that on the cross when He suffered and bled and died and reached up and took the hand of a holy, holy God and reached down and took the hand of sinners and brings us together in Himself on the cross where sins are forgiven and washed away, blotted out, never to be remembered again. Nothing more important than the salvation of souls is taking place in the presence of God today. Though He rules the world and the hearts of kings are in His hands, He still, when He stands still when He hears the sincere cry of a needy soul. And I'm here to tell you today, there's someone here who desperately needs Jesus. There's someone here that's lost and without God. You're facing an eternity without hope. You don't want to miss heaven. You sure don't want to go to hell. But you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And yet the God of heaven has made provision for you to be saved. And He's waiting with His ear tuned in down on this earth for you to cry out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And no matter what else He's doing, whether He's dealing with affairs in Syria or Russia or Africa or Korea or China or here in the United States, when He hears your cry, Jesus will stop just for you and give attention for your cry. He's listening. He's waiting for you to simply call out to Him this morning to save your soul. Now, the Word of God tells us who may call out to the Son of God. Who may call out? Well, may I say, first of all, any and all lost, needy souls in sin may call. Why? The Bible tells us about a woman in Samaria, the scarlet sinner of Sychar, the woman at the well. She came to the well with an empty bucket. She left with a full soul, saved by the grace of God. She called on Him. This blind beggar called on Him. A thief on the cross called on Him. And just to tell you how loving God is and how He'll save any sinner, He saved a tax collector. If He can do that, He can save you. He'll hear and He'll stop for you. Well, Romans 10 verse 12 says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And He says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's just waiting for you to cry out to Him. He's ready to listen. I think He's kind of leaning forward, wanting to hear that most feeble cry. Who may call? Any and all lost sinners. Any and all needy soul in sin. He'll hear you. May I say, secondly, any person under a heavy burden may call. You say, but you don't know what my burden is. Doesn't matter. We have a great high priest that has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. There's nothing we go through that He does not understand. And He not only can sympathize, He can empathize. He's gone through it. He suffered it for us. And He says, He tells us that, come unto Me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's just waiting for you to call. Who may call? Any and all lost, needy souls in sin. Any person with a heavy burden may call. Any child of God may call, no matter the need. Hey, did you ever understand that prayer was designed by God for His children? The only prayer He'll hear of a lost sinner is the sinner's prayer when we cry out to Him for salvation. But He says to His children, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might find mercy, receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Who may call? Any child of God may call. You say, but my problem's not all that big. Doesn't matter to God. You're His child. Whether it be your little skint knee, or whether it be a broken heart, or whether it be financial needs, or marriage needs, or children that have broken your heart into 10,000 pieces, or some terrible illness or sickness. Doesn't matter what the problem is. He says, come boldly. Amen. You don't have to have a special invitation. Just get on your knees. Get along with Him. Doesn't matter if it's in a car or backyard or behind a tree or in your house or at your recliner. Come boldly. Doesn't have to be at a church altar. It can be. But come boldly. I've watched people run down the aisle and fall on their face at an altar. Come boldly. Who may call on Him? Any and all lost, needy souls. Any person under a heavy burden may call. Any child of God may call, no matter the need. Any backslidden Christian may call. Ah, 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, I'm a Christian, but you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. You can call on Him. He's a God of forgiveness. You've not done worse than the prodigal son did. And that earthly father received him and forgave him, restored him. And if an earthly father knows how to do that, how much more does our heavenly Father know how to forgive those that will cry out to Him? He cares about you. He cares about your heartaches, your burdens, your needs. You say, but preacher, I don't have anybody. I had a lady call me and say, Brother Smith, I've lost everything. I've lost my church. I've lost my friends. I don't have anybody. I said, you still have God. Instead of calling people and letting them know how miserable you are, why don't you call on God? Tell Him about your hurts and heartaches. I can't do anything about them, but He can. He can. Oh, any backslidden Christian may call. And then may I say also, ask the question, what kind of a cry was this that caused Jesus to stand still? Listen to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And some of the disciples says, don't bother him, don't bother him. And the Bible says he cried that much the more. Have mercy on me. What kind of a cry was this that caused Jesus to stand still? It was a cry for mercy. Verse 47. A cry for mercy. You want something that reaches the heart of God? Cry out for mercy. Cry out for mercy. Oh, thank God He did not deal with us on the basis of what we deserve. He dealt on the basis of mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Well, if we got what we deserved, not one of us would be saved and not one of us would have a promise of heaven. But thank God that He's a God of mercy and grace, and on the merits of mercy and grace, He stood still one day for me and for you when we cried out to Him. And He'll stand still for you and hear your prayer and save your soul if you'll call on Him today. What kind of a cry was it? It was a cry for mercy. Secondly, it was a personal cry. He didn't say, have mercy on my family. He said, have mercy on me. You know, We can't get saved for someone else. It is a personal matter. Have mercy on me. Save me. Forgive me. Help me. Thank God that Christians pray for one another. And many of you have told me you pray for my wife and you're still praying for her. And I thank you for that. But let me tell you, until we learn to cry out to Him personally, we're not going to know the wonderful benefits of God that we can know and have the privilege of knowing. It's a personal cry. Remember the thief on the cross? He didn't say, "Lord, save me and my buddy." He said, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." It was a personal cry. Thirdly, it was a persistent cry. They said, "Don't bother him, don't bother him." And he cried that much more, a great deal. Persistent. One of my favorite sayings is this: failure cannot cope with persistence. Failure cannot cope with persistence. God has victory waiting about 3 foot from where the average person quits. God has victory waiting in the next sunrise, but you give up in the last sunset. It was a persistent cry. And then it was an urgent cry. Have mercy on me! You say, the urgency, what was it? This was the last time Jesus would ever pass by in Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem where they would arrest him, beat him, nail him to a cross, pierce his side with a sword, and he would die. The last opportunity old blind Bartimaeus had to cry out, "Have mercy on me," and he took advantage of it. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what your need is. But I know this, not one of us know that we have tomorrow. Not one of us can say, "Well, I'll do it later on." Some of you need to be saved today. "Well, I'm going to get saved someday." Hell's full of people that plan to get saved someday but died today. Some of you need, someone here needs to get saved this morning. You need to come and trust Jesus as your Savior. Someone here today needs to come and fall on your face and get your life right with God. You're already saved, but you need to come today while Jesus is passing by. Some of you here have been saved but never been baptized. How can you be right with God and refuse to obey the first thing Jesus commands us to do after we're saved? Be baptized. Well, how can you go on to a successful Christian life when you disobey the first thing He asks us to do? Even in baseball, you skip first base, you're out. Jesus is speaking to someone's heart today about your life. You've grown cold. You begin to move back toward the world, and God is speaking to your heart. He's passing by you today. This may be your last opportunity to make it right. It's an urgent cry. An urgent cry. And then it was a cry of faith. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "What would you have me to do unto you?" He said, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." When you look up that statement, "Thy faith has made thee whole," it means that He not only healed his blindness, He saved his soul. And He records it over in Luke 18 that He saved him. He always does more than we ask for. He's that kind of a God. But He's waiting on you to cry out to Him today. In faith, He's waiting on you. Now, what does this story teach us? This story teaches us that Jesus is reachable and available to every individual, regardless of your circumstances or condition. The only requirement is that you sincerely want His forgiveness and His help and His salvation. This story teaches us that Jesus is moved by our cry for mercy, not our position or our condition. This story teaches us that God's power moves for us on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by living a certain way. We're not saved by doing certain things. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And can I tell you a Bible truth most people don't understand? Jesus even gave us the faith with which we believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He gives us the faith with which we believe. And there is in your heart enough faith to get saved, enough faith to get right. God's just waiting on you to call on Him. And when you do, He'll stand still just for you. He'll give attention just to you. It was a cry of faith. It teaches us that God's power moves for us on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then it teaches us that God truly does care about our needs. It was an amazing thing to me when I came to realize that the God of heaven, the holy, holy, holy God of heaven, the one who stepped out on nothing and created all things by the power of His omnipotence, cared about a boy from Myrtle Springs, Texas, a sharecropper's son, a nobody, and yet God cared about me. And 1 month into my 15th year, I cried out to Him to save me, and He stood still just for me and saved my soul, changed my life, gave me a life worth living here on this earth and a future worth looking forward to in heaven. He stood still just for me. He stood still for blind Bartimaeus. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll call out to Him, He'll stop and give attention to your need and to your heartache and to your burden this morning. That God truly does care about you and about your needs. Now let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've called out to Him as a child of God? How long has it been since you shared your heartaches and your burdens and your needs with your God? Down in Texas, they advertise a chili called Wolf Brand Chili. The advertisement's like this: how long has it been since you've had a bowl of Wolf Brand Chili? And then they say, brother, that's too long. How long has it been since you've called on God? Brother, that's too long. He's standing with His ear tuned toward you, waiting, longing to hear your voice. You know, I'm a father. I have 3 daughters, 9 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren. You know what the greatest joy of my life is? To get a phone call and hear the voice of one of my children or my grandchildren. And if that's true of an earthly father, how much more is it true of our heavenly Father? You don't have to carry that burden, that heartache. You don't have to struggle with that need. You don't have to go through those disappointments alone. He's waiting for you to cry. And then, dear backslidden child of God, He cares about you. He cares about your need. Long before that prodigal saw the Father was looking and saw the Son. And the Heavenly Father is looking today and listening, waiting for you to come to Him, to cry out to Him. And oh, if you're here today and you don't know that heaven's your home, you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that if you died today you'd go to heaven, but you know you don't want to go to hell, I'm here to tell you that Jesus suffered and bled and died on Calvary so you could be saved and I could be saved and these people could be saved. These aren't people more important to God than you. The difference is they stopped and called upon Him. You haven't. But you can this morning. You can trust Him today. And He'll stop and give attention to your need. Why, He said if you'll call upon Him, He'll save you. That's His promise. You know there's one thing God cannot do? He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Jesus, passing through, heard a feeble cry from the crowd. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and gave attention to blind Bartimaeus. And I'm here to tell you today, He's waiting on you. He's longing for your call. He's ready to give you life everlasting if you'll call upon Him today. Now, Father, that's our message this morning. Now, would you speak to our hearts? You know those who are saved and those who are not saved. You know those that are right and those that are not right. We ask you to speak to our hearts and give us faith and courage enough to cry out to you today. No doubt there's someone here that needs to be saved. And though they want to be saved, they don't know how to go about getting saved. And I've got good news for them, Lord. If they'll come, we'll have someone take them aside and show them how to be saved. Help them to realize everybody who's ever gotten saved had to get saved the same way. They had to come calling on Jesus. And Father, there's some people here with heavy burdens, heartaches, and needs. They need to come. They need to cry out to you today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to say, yes, Lord, Thy will be done. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around, I'm going to ask a couple of three questions. Now, I'll make you this promise before I ask the first question. I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. I will not come to you. But I want to know how to pray for you. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I want God to know I'm praying for you. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. When I ask the question, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. First of all, how many of you can say, preacher, I've called on Jesus to be my Savior. And I know that I know that I know today I'm saved. Why, if I should die right now, I know it's all right. I'd go to heaven because I've been born again. I've been saved the Bible way. You can say that with 100% certainty. Would you slip your hand up and give testimony of it? Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. And I'm glad that I know that I know I'm saved. Oh, what a beautiful sight. All over this auditorium, hands are raised. Most everyone could raise their hands. You can put them down. Thank you. But I saw some who could not raise their hand. I believe your being here today is testimony that you believe there's a God in heaven. You believe there's a heaven and a hell. But you just couldn't honestly raise your hand and say, I'm saved and I know it. Thank you for being honest. Does no good to pretend when God knows the truth anyway. But right now, you'd say, preacher, I'd like to know heaven's my home. I know I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray that I too can be saved and know it before I face eternity? Now, while no one's looking, I want you to just slip your hand up, and without saying a word, your hand will speak for you. Preacher, that's me. I'd like to be saved and know it. Please pray for me. While no one's looking right now, would you slip that hand up where I can see it? You can take it right back down. And when I pray, I'll be praying for you. Is there anyone like that? God bless you. You're important to God. Is there someone else? Preacher, when you pray for this one, pray for me also. I sure would like to be saved and know it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone? Preacher, pray for me. I just don't know for sure I'm saved. Thank God for one that was had courage enough and to slip the hand up and say, pray for me. Is there anyone else? Then let me move on. I wonder if there's someone here that would say, preacher, I'm saved. But I've never been baptized after I got saved. And I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to get baptized. Pray for me. You slip your hand up right now. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else, God bless you. God bless you and you. Thank God for people that are reaching souls. Someone else, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me when you pray for these others. Anyone else? Anyone else? I wonder if there's someone here that would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but oh, I've got a heavy burden. I've got a great need in my life. Or maybe I'm not right with God as a child of God. When you pray for these others, would you also pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right now and indicate, preacher, that's me. God bless you. Thank you for these hands. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I come to you in behalf of these who have raised their hands. Help them to understand that though I'm praying for them personally, my prayer cannot save them. I pray for this dear man that raised his hand, honest enough to say, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know I don't want to miss heaven. And I certainly don't want to go to hell. Now, God, I'm asking you to give him courage and faith enough to come and trust you as Savior today. This can be his day when it's settled forever that Jesus is his Savior and heaven is his home. Speak to his heart and help him to come today. And then for those who need to come for believers' baptism, help them not to hesitate and make excuse, but come and present themselves a candidate for believers' baptism. They've been saved. Now they need to make it public through believers' baptism. Let this be that day they settle that. And then for those with burdens and heartaches and needs, we come to you, thanking you that you care about us. And every person here is important to you. Just as you stopped for blind Bartimaeus, you'll stop for us as we cry out to you. Help them to come today. And at an old-fashioned altar, cry out to the thrice holy God who loves them and wants to help them. Now, Lord, I've done all I can do. I turn this invitation into your hand. Convict people of their need. Save the unsaved. Help us to come and obey you this morning in accordance with how you're speaking to our heart, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. And the piano's going to begin to play. You raised your hand over here. Won't you come and let us show you how this can be settled today? Just step right out and come. Come on. That's right. That's right, buddy. Come on. Come on. Come on, sir. Luke, the gentleman in the blue shirt. Right there. Yes, sir. Come on. You're here today, a candidate for baptism. You need to come. Or maybe you need a church home. You need a church home like this church. You ought to come. If I lived here in this area, I'll tell you, this is where I'd go to church. Brother Luke. Come on today. Pastor.
This is the time, the moment the Lord's here to speak to your heart. I hope you didn't just flippantly raise your hand and say, oh yes, I'm saved. I hope you know a time and a place where you trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and you know that you got saved. And friend, if that's never happened to you, what better time than right now? We have somebody to talk to you from the Scriptures, have somebody to talk to you, show you how you can be saved, trusting Christ fully for sin. Why don't you come? While the piano plays quietly, the piano's playing now. Take a moment, let the Lord speak to your heart. Others have come to be baptized. We're in good shape time-wise. We have time for you. Jesus will stand still and hear your cry, hear your prayer. But you've got to call out while we wait this morning. Come and trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior while we wait. Sure love to have you come and be saved today. Father in heaven, I thank you for the good, clear message this morning on salvation. Thank you for standing still, Lord Jesus, long enough not only to heal blind Bartimaeus of his blind eyes, but to save his soul. And thank you for standing still long enough to save us when we call. And Father, is there anybody leaving this morning with a heart not settled on this matter of salvation? I pray that they'll give attention to it before it's eternally too late. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen.